Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. And tomorrow, Gary Brummett, who is a survivor of the USS Liberty situation in 1967, where Israel attacked that vessel, will be on from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. to discuss what he experienced and what he saw that day. That will be, I think, a particularly good show in getting at the bottom of what really happened in June of 1967. Again, that will be Gary Brummett tomorrow on the show from 8 to 10 a.m. talking about the USS Liberty and Israel's attack on that vessel in June of 1967 during the so-called Six-Day War. A number of very interesting news items today, as usual, not in the Zionist control press and corporate press, but in non-establishment, responsible non-establishment media. I want to take a look maybe at some of these stories in the first 2 hours of the show today before Mark Glenn comes on. Douglas Herman has an excellent post at Strike the Root, and it's entitled The Controlled Demolition of the American Republic. Bill Barnwell has an excellent post today at lewrockwell.com entitled TV Evangelist John Hagee Wants War with Iran, and He Wants It Now. Mark Weber, the Institute for Historical Review, who has been on this show in the past, has an excerpt of his speech online, which is entitled The Israel Lobby's Campaign for War, What Every American Should Know. That's a text from a speech that Mark delivered in California earlier this month. It is well worth your time to read what is in that speech and to evaluate it, particularly in the light of what we've been talking about on this show. Peter LaBarbera's Americans for Truth sends me a series of news items, including 10 news stories today. The one that I found the most interesting was the statement of an archbishop who says that Catholic adoption agencies already adopt to homosexuals. That's coming to us today from Americans for Truth, Peter LaBarbera's organization. The Washington Post does have a couple of interesting items today. One is that a House panel has authorized the subpoena of officials of the Bush administration. Not a bad item to take a look at in terms of this whole controversy over U.S. attorneys being fired by the Bush administration. What I think is key, going back to the earlier discussion that we had in the week in regard to Paul Craig Roberts' story on these fired U.S. attorneys and on Alberto Gonzalez and George Bush, the key item there continues to be missed by the Post, and that is exactly what the role of Alberto Gonzalez was in saying to President Bush that both of them had the authorization to go around the law and to go around the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court in regard to judicial review of surveillance operations and operations of all kinds against American citizens being conducted by American intelligence agencies. The other thing, of course, that Paul Craig Roberts talked about earlier in the week was the way in which Mr. Gonzalez and Mr. Bush were partners in crime in regard to encouraging and going along with and being fully aware of the National Security Agency's warrantless surveillance program that was being conducted against American citizens that finally found its way into exposure at the hands of corporate media. So take a look at that one today with the Washington Post. House panel authorizes subpoena of officials. Here's another interesting one that may come up in my conversation with Mark Glenn as we speak a little bit about American culture this morning. The Episcopal bishops in the United States defy the Anglican Communion. If you've been watching this story, there are a significant number of people in the overall Anglican Communion that don't like the pro-homosexual point of view being promoted by Catherine Jefferts Schori, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church in the United States. We'll take a look at that one when we come back, along with three excellent stories that appeared in Elizabeth Wright's News with Views this morning. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to take a look at a number of interesting news items this morning and basically do that from, say, 7 to 9 o'clock. I can take your calls at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And then at 9 o'clock, Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross is going to be on. We're going to be talking about a series of things that relate to news items of the day, as well as something that's going to be coming up in June. There's going to be a No More Wars for Israel conference that was originally scheduled to take place in Southern California in March. That has now been moved to the month of June. I think that Southern California, the L.A. area, is still likely to be the venue for that conference, but nonetheless, Mark will be on today to discuss a series of things, and I'll ask him some questions about that conference. I was tentatively scheduled to speak at the conference in March, and then, of course, it was rescheduled. I may yet be making an appearance at that conference in June, and we'll see how that plays. But at any rate, Mark Glenn, I'm sure, will have at least a little bit more information for us in regard to that whole issue of the No More Wars for Israel conference tentatively scheduled for June, tentatively scheduled for a Southern California venue. You know, there are a series of things that relate to the news today that I want to take a closer look at. One of the things that I had wanted to take a closer look at in recent days was Christopher Ketchum's piece, What Did Israel Know in Advance of the 9/11 Attacks? I understand that Christopher Ketchum was scheduled to be on Rick Adams' show for the Republic Broadcasting Network. He had also indicated tentative interest in being on this show after I had made initial inquiry of Christopher. Subsequently, he had to, for whatever reason, cancel his appearance with Rick Adams, and I have not heard from Mr. Ketchum. Since that event, I wrote him again, expressed once more my interest in his being on this show. He, for whatever reason, has not been in a position to respond to that. But nonetheless, his post at Counterpunch of some days ago entitled, What Did Israel Know in Advance of the 9/11 Attacks, is well worth your time in reading something that Counterpunch has not necessarily wanted to touch before or to say too much about before. But this is very definitely something that is worth your time to go to that article and to see some of the information in it that contradicts what Zionist media has been saying about 9/11. And that comes to us from Christopher Ketchum, What Did Israel Know in Advance of the 9/11 Attacks? And I suspect it would be a very similar analysis to some of what we have seen in really good alternative media that has covered the Rafik Hariri assassination in Lebanon from a completely different angle from that of corporate Zionist media. And certainly when you look at the recent coverage in the Wall Street Journal of the Hariri assassination and who is believed to be behind it as far as the Wall Street Journal is concerned, it certainly suggests that once again the neoconservative press is at trying to give us a particular spin on that whole question of what happened in Lebanon that does not necessarily fit the evidence at all and doesn't fit really the whole clear issue of motive and means and opportunity. That's traditionally the way that people try to get at the bottom of who is most likely to be responsible for any particular criminal act in question, who had the motive, who had the means, who had the opportunity in regard to not only the Hariri assassination, but a series of events in Lebanon in recent years. And quite clearly, I don't think it points to Syria at all. In fact, I believe that the evidence points toward Israel, but that's something that we'll continue to look at in the days ahead, and we will keep you posted on that. And I'd like to get an acknowledged expert on the Hariri assassination to come on this show. I understand that there are several in Europe. I may ask Mark Glenn about that today to see what he knows about it. But at any rate, that whole issue is something that we need to keep our eyes on in the days ahead. Elizabeth Wright's News with Views, and I've mentioned it before on this show, is a really excellent source of information for those of you on the American right who are looking for the populist, anti-neocon, pro-paleocon point of view. And I don't agree, of course, with absolutely everything that's ever posted there, but in the main, I think it's an excellent news service. Joe Kress, Paul Proctor, and Tom DeWeese all have excellent posts in the most current edition of News with Views. Joe Kress has something entitled Rodents in the Belfry that is posted with News with Views today. If you get a chance, take a look at it. Joe Kress has a background, as I was reading through it, quite similar to what my father had in the Air Force a generation ago in regard to being a logistics expert. And he and my father were both stationed in some of the same locations, according to Joe's biography. But more to the point, Joe Kress tells us some things today that are well worth underscoring in regard to what we on the real American right believe about the Rockefellers and about the UN Charter. I want to read from Joe Kress's article today just to underscore some of the excellent journalism that I think you will find with News with Views. And again, Joe's piece is entitled Rodents in the Belfry. He goes on to say that that sly old master manipulator of intrigue, John D. Rockefeller, willed enough of his fortune so that his son David, the devil and mufti, could conspire to destroy the U.S. Constitution and replace it with the United Nations Charter. From the boiling cauldron of miscreants at a time John D. was at the zenith of his money-making schemes, a character calling himself Colonel Edward M. House entered the side wing of the stage for political skullduggery. His title was self-endowed, since he never entered the military. The colonel wormed his way into Woodrow Wilson's friendship and landed up as Wilson's right-hand man. In fact, he actually ran foreign entanglements in the White House while Woodrow was incapacitated by poor health. His prior involvement in the field of banking allowed him close association with the Rothschild Bank of London, a major influence when he represented Wilson in the 1919 League of Nations deliberations, the precursor to the UN. House published his future dream agenda in 1912 using a fictionalized book entitled Philip Drew, Administrator. Although it's no crime to fictionalize, what House did was use his illusions expressed in what could be termed a dime novel as his roadmap on achieving influence with Woodrow Wilson. He negatively affected the nation's foreign policy, which later caused embarrassment to the office of the president. However, in 1910 at the Jekyll Island meeting, House represented the yet-to-be-elected Wilson in the banker's plan to create the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 to destroy the value of the American dollar, using borrowed debt for collateral and charging interest on what the government printed interest-free. He misrepresented both the positions of European leaders to his president and submitted false impressions of U.S. positions to the leaders in Europe prior to the U.S. involvement in World War I. It was not until the negotiations in 1919, as Wilson's representative informing the League of Nations, that Woodrow discovered his duplicity and fired him. But here is the rub. He became the first chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, or CFR, in 1921. His ties with the Rothschild Cabal's Royal Institute of International Affairs allowed this sycophant, this delusional liar, to be the Rothschild's long-awaited launching pad to destroy the U.S. Constitution, its borders, and to marry its citizens to foreign and local unelected matoids who desire nothing less than to govern the world. The membership of the council grew under the guidance, money, tax-exempt foundations, and institutions of the Rockefellers. The purpose of the CFR is to enlist as many people as possible who hold important positions in industry, academia, politics, the Congress, the presidents, government at all key levels, the media, and the law. The sales pitch is that national leaders are incapable of preventing wars, that democratic republics are outmoded, and that open borders are necessary to ensure homogeneity among nations. What isn't stated is that those who sit at the pinnacle of this world government will be those who control the money system and distribute the fruits of labor as they see fit. One cannot join the CFR. He or she must be recommended by an active member. What happened since this cancerous growth settled into the political arena, nourished by David Rockefeller and members of his family, is a study in treason. Had it not been for Ronald Reagan splitting the vote at the convention, Nelson Rockefeller, David's brother, was unable to obtain the single vote necessary to make him the Republican Party's candidate. Nelson Rockefeller, in 1968, would have become the President of the United States. Instead, the delegations chose Richard Milhouse Nixon of the CFR, who opened Communist China to the world, and allowed Henry Kissinger of the CFR, the Trilateral Commission in the Bilderberg Group, to abandon many of our prisoners located in Cambodia. A few of them may still be held by the North Vietnamese government in the jungles or perhaps in Russia or China. In 1972, President Ford attended the secret international Bilderberg Group with David Rockefeller. The Bilderbergers are a Rothschild-backed institution to chart the course of geopolitics. Attendees are the world's bankers, influential politicians of different countries, the fabulously wealthy monarchs of Great Britain, Sweden, and Norway, the Grand Master of the Masonic Order, York Wright, leaders in the media, and key multinational businesses. Once a year, they meet in secret away from the prying eyes of the public and the congresses and parliaments of their respective nations to plan and execute their influence. Among other decisions, they recommend to political parties their favorite candidates to fit the global agenda. They chose Nelson Rockefeller to be Ford's vice president. Nelson tried to be president in 1964, 1968, and 1972. Therefore, he was considered unelectable as a future president unless through some quirk where Ford were to die or possibly be impeached for pardoning Nixon. We'll be back taking a look at Joe Kress's post today for News with Views entitled Rodents in the Belfry. And Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross will join us at 9 o'clock this morning. I want to talk to Mark about a series of things, including the so-called No More Wars for Israel conference that's tentatively scheduled to come up now in June in Southern California. Mark has been on Michael Collins Piper's show recently, I understand. And I wanted to delve into a little bit of what he talked about on Mike's show, and also to see what Mark Glenn thinks of a series of things in contemporary media that involve the Zionist lobby, and where Mark thinks we presently are in terms of a potential expansion of this war in the Middle East. So that'll be Mark Glenn coming on at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I mentioned earlier, Gary Brummett will be on the show tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Gary is a survivor of Israel's attack upon the USS Liberty in June of 1967. This will be my first opportunity to have a good conversation with someone who was an eyewitness to these dreadful events in that year. And I think it's not simply a question of what happened in regard to Israel's attack upon that vessel, but even more significantly, what the response was of the United States government to that attack subsequent to its taking place. Why was there not more information forthcoming in regard to what really happened that day? Gary Brummett was telling me that he is aware of someone living here in San Antonio who is a survivor of that same attack and who was very significantly placed in the American government in the years that followed. And this gentleman's testimony in regard to what transpired that day was systematically, quietly excised from the record. Why? That's some of what we hope to talk about tomorrow with Gary Brummett, and that will be on from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Back to some of the items from today's press, I wanted to mention specifically that Joe Kress, Paul Proctor, and Tom DeWeese all have particularly good posts with Elizabeth Wright's News with Views this morning. I've been reading from Joe Kress's Rodents in the Belfry, talking about the nefarious Colonel House and how he infiltrated the Woodrow Wilson administration and was subsequently involved in the earliest days, the most incipient days of the Council on Foreign Relations, and how all of that plays out in terms of the Rothschild family and the Rockefeller family and the way in which those particular families were involved in creating what we know today as the power elite in this country. Going on then with Joe's article, Rodents in the Belfry, which you can find at News with Views, Joe Kress was talking about Gerald Ford then was later defeated after finishing out the disgraced Nixon's remaining 3 years by a little-known ex-governor of Georgia, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter is one of the earliest members of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, an organization meant to fill the gap to bring in Europe and Japan's participation into the world hegemony. Carter nearly ruined the morale of the U.S. military, removed our military bases in Central America, gave up our interest in the Panama Canal, and reneged in confronting the Iranian mullahs who held U.S. civilians as hostages for nearly 3 years of his administration. His leadership proved to the world that the U.S. is a paper tiger. After Carter served his purpose as the CFR's agent, George Herbert Walker Bush, Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission member of the Secret Skull and Bones fraternity, former CIA director, member of the Bush banking, oil, and investment family, became the CFR's winning candidate. His father, Samuel Bush, Skull and Bones, was president of Union Bank Corporation, one of Averell Harriman's bank institutions, Averell Harriman, of course, of both Skull and Bones and CFR fame. Later, he became a vice president in Harriman's main investment banking institution, Brown Brothers Harriman. Samuel Bush was appointed by President Wilson, director of Small Armament and Ammunition on the War Industries Board that set up coercive price-fixing cartels over American industry during World War I. Samuel Bush assisted Percy Rockefeller, Bones, 1900, son of William Skull and Bones, in his takeover of small arms manufacturer plants until the end of the war. The family contracts and intrigue continues from grandfather to son to great-grandson. The mantle of power changed hands shortly after George Herbert Walker Bush announced his plans for NAFTA and the New World Order at the conclusion of the first Iraq non-war war. The plans included the continuation for a military buildup, which would include contracts for the Carlyle Group, whose president at the time was David Rubenstein and its CEO, ex-Secretary of Defense Frank Carlucci, CFR, 1992. Later, James Baker III, CFR, 1992, would join as a member of the board, and Colin Powell, CFR, 1992, became a Carlyle advisor. Frank Carlucci succeeded Rubenstein as the president of the group. David Rockefeller was instrumental in obtaining Baker as part of what Michael Lewis of the New Republic called the company, quote, a salon de refuse for the influence peddling class, unquote. Carlyle's main business is securing leveraged buyouts of companies whose contracts are related to the Department of Defense and then sell the companies at huge profits when the businesses receive government contracts. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with a look at Joe Kress's item with News and Views today entitled Rodents in the Belfry. Mark Glenn will be on at 9 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross will join us at 9 o'clock this morning to chat about a number of items, including the No More Wars for Israel conference that's tentatively scheduled now to come up in June out in Southern California. And I'll always look forward to talking to Mark, who, by the way, has been so helpful not only to me, but to several other hosts of other RBN shows in regard to guest recruitment. Mark gets absolutely no compensation for this whatsoever. He simply does it because he believes in RBN and is a very good friend of at least three of the hosts on this network, if not more. And it's always appreciated when he calls me or contacts Rick Adams or Michael Collins Piper and says, hey, I have person A or person B or person C here who I think would be a pretty good guest, and here's the contact information if you need it. I really appreciate that, and I also appreciate the fact that I've had some very thoughtful letters from those of you who listen to my show in regard to a whole host of topics. I had a particularly thoughtful letter written to me sometime in the last 24 hours by someone who had a lot of interesting things to say, not simply about Iran and the Middle East, but about some other things that I'd like to mention at some point on the air without revealing the person's identity. And it was just a very thoughtful piece of communication to me, and I really appreciate those things as they come into me both by electronic mail as well as occasionally by snail mail, and certainly by the occasional phone call as well. All of your input is greatly appreciated, and I am in the process of developing a pretty good list of people to begin scheduling to come on this show in the days ahead. And I hope that it will be a learning experience both for you and for me, as some of these fine guests have a great deal of excellent information to impart to us in regard to the real meaning of the things that we are seeing happening in the world right now. Joe Kress's article, Rodents in the Belfry, was something that we were looking at before the last commercial break. That's one of three particularly excellent pieces that I think are at Elizabeth Wright's News with Views this morning. Paul Proctor's When America is Gone is another one. Tom DeWeese's Why We Need the We the People Act, or H.R. 300, is yet a third article. And if you're not familiar with Elizabeth Wright's News with Views, which you can find at newswithviews.com, it's an excellent source of information and something that, again, I would present to you as yet another arrow in your quiver and mine in regard to the data that is routinely distributed by Ms. Wright on that site. I've been trying on several occasions to get her to come on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I would suspect that Elizabeth's schedule is so absolutely jam-packed that it's probably going to be impossible for me to get her on, but I would still like to do that and set that as a goal for the future, to have her share her life story with you. I know just a little bit of it. What I do know is interesting enough that I suspect that there's a whole host of other things that would be very fascinating to hear in regard to how this very interesting African-American woman became such a key pivotal figure on the American paleoconservative right. She has developed with this newswithviews.com what I think is a very, very fine news service. Speaking then of Joe Kress's article, Rodents in the Belfry, he is reminding us of the Carlyle Group and the relationship of the Carlyle Group and some of its key members to both the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, and in several instances, the Skull and Bones Society. He was talking about Frank Carlucci succeeding Rubenstein as the president of the Carlyle Group. David Rockefeller then was very instrumental in obtaining Baker for participation in the Carlyle Group. And Mr. Kress reminds us that Carlyle's main business is securing leveraged buyouts of companies whose contracts are related to the Department of Defense and then selling the companies at huge profits when the businesses receive government contracts. The nameless investing members of the group use government insiders for advance information. John Major, former British Prime Minister, was a Carlyle partner. The Carlyle Group used ex-President George Herbert Walker Bush to solicit seed money to fund the takeover of the corporations involved in defense through as many powerful foreign and domestic contacts, such as the royals of Saudi Arabia. He receives millions of dollars for his efforts. George W. Bush was able to help purchase the Texas Rangers gratis through the Carlyle Group. He later sold his interest at a huge profit that made him a multimillionaire practically overnight. It was left to William Jefferson Clinton of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderberg Group, and his Vice President Al Gore of the CFR, to obtain congressional approval and allow Carla Hills of the CFR to negotiate trade agreements and contracts between governments and corporations without Senate approval. It happened with ease because so many key members within the Congress belonged to both the CFR and the Trilateral Commission. A few members of the Senate regularly are invited to attend the Bilderberg meetings. W, as far as can be determined, is not a CFR member, at least not on the 1994 membership roster, but he is a bonesman, the same as John Kerry of the CFR, who lost the election by a fluke. Although W may or may not be on the CFR list, he follows the CFR goal to create the North American Union, eliminate the borders between Mexico and Canada, and also plans to build a 4-football-field-wide monstrous highway from Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, to the northernmost reaches of Canada, and is already advancing to the construction stage of this project in Texas. Again, Congress was left out of the loop between the negotiations when Bush met with the heads of state of Mexico and Canada and signed an agreement to go ahead with the plan to eliminate U.S. sovereignty and its borders. His invasion of Iraq was primarily meant to amalgamate the Middle East as a part of the one-world government, or at least keep control of radical Islamists and prevent attacks on Israel. In the eyes of David Rockefeller and the Rothschilds, Bush is a rousing success. That pretty well sums up who's running the country. I received an emailed tape of the Council on Foreign Relations meeting in Washington, D.C., where David Rockefeller stood up among the crowd of attendees and thanked Vice President Dick Cheney of the CFR for all the assistance and support he provided to the organization during his years of service to that organization. Cheney thanked David and mentioned that it was good to be back with the council, since during the campaign it would not have been prudent for him to be known as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. The CFR was able to remain unnoticed until recently because of the major news outlets that are owned by members of the CFR. In 1991, in Baden-Baden, Germany, David Rockefeller gloatingly said, quote, "We're grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and the great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march toward world government." This is what David Rockefeller wrote in his own autobiography, his memoirs of April the 8th, 2006. Quote, "For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon the well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it," unquote. Those who aided and abetted the coming downfall of America in favor of the New World Order need to be exposed. At the top of the list is Newt Gingrich of the CFR, the former Speaker of the House of Representatives before he was obliged to vacate the job because of violation of ethics rules. He now wants to be the next president. Gingrich aligned his argument with the Toffler's books such as Future Shock and Power Shift that touted the idea that the new economy of the United States is to be based on communication and information, an economy of services rather than the manufacture of things and goods. He provided glib utopian answers regarding the need to restrain all those job displacements. He was one of the great proponents of NAFTA, the most destructive arrangement ever concocted to increase job losses and turn the nation's balance of payments upside down. Our major industries have relocated around the globe. All national loyalty is forfeited to global interests to divert U.S.-owned loyal industries to produce their products outside the United States and then export the lower-cost products back into the United States, keeping profits circulating outside the United States. Major pharmaceutical firms report no earnings to the IRS because their manufacturing is done in Puerto Rico and the drugs are shipped tariff-free. What Gingrich and those members of the CFR cabal accomplished could not have been more destructive. It forced our country to be wholly dependent on the outside world while promoting the illogical idea that the system would operate in a vacuum of free trade. It turns out that free trade only applies to the importers, but not to U.S. firms that export to other countries. The invasion of illegal aliens, supported by the Carter, Bush 1, Clinton, and Bush 2 administrations, ends what we call our democratic republic. It replaces loyal, legal Americans with foreigners armed with green cards and the illegal aliens with phony identifications willing and able to work for low wages and no benefits other than what is provided through welfare. There are members in the House willing to push the envelope beyond reason. They want a college education for illegal aliens paid for by taxpayers. Bank of America issues credit cards to illegal aliens. Matricula identification certificates issued by the Mexican consulates are recognized by certain banks and credit unions. The banks provide non-interest-bearing checking and saving accounts based on documentation issued by a foreign government to their citizens violate the interests of legal Americans. The illegal aliens send untaxed, under-the-table wages facilitated easily by the U.S. and American bankers, using the bank wire services and checking account deposits, or they make payments by credit cards directly to their relatives, friends, and gang members who have duplicate credit cards to access the member banks' teller machines located in their own countries. These are acts of sedition. This arrangement benefits the respective economies of the foreign countries, a hassle-free operation, with absolutely no benefit to the U.S. economy. It's really a money laundering service. The impact is the loss of sales resulting from money that normally would circulate through American business communities. The Congress and the President are more than willing to legalize all illegal aliens living in our country to solve problems created by the bankers, besides caving into political Hispanic interests and those business interests that want cheap labor. It is obvious that all these actions are with a single purpose, to fulfill the plan for global government. The scheme is to create a problem, then solve it by creating an even bigger problem, so eventually the public is easily swayed into accepting open borders. There were 4,426 listed CFR members as of 1994. A large number of them are or were working in the executive branch, the cabinet, nearly every management level of the diplomatic corps, and the Pentagon, including the top military brass. Listed below are just a few present and past members of Congress complicit within David Rockefeller's oligarchy. Senators and ex-senators: Dianne Feinstein, Olympia Snow, Paul Sarbanes, Christopher Dodd, John Kyle, John D. Rockefeller, John McCain, Bob Graham, Joseph Lieberman, Timothy Wirth, Harris Wolford, Thad Cochran, Bill Frist, Brian L. Dorgan, Chuck Hagel, Richard Lugar, Charles Robb, John Kerry, William Roth Jr., John Chaffee Sr., Charles Schumer, Charles Robb William Cohen, also known as Bill Cohen, of course, and Daniel Moynihan. In the House, House and ex-House members: John Lewis, David Dreyer, Thomas E. Petrie, Richard Gephardt, Charles B. Rangel, Newt Gingrich, John M. Spratt, Lee Hamilton, Jim Leach, Henry Hyde, Susan Molinari, Esteban Torres, Barney Frank, Arno Houghton, Howard Berman, Ed Pastor, Jim Colby, Lewis Stokes, and Robert Matsui. That is today a post by Joe Kress entitled "Rodents in the Belfry." And I think clearly that when we look at what Colonel Kress is talking about this morning in this article, the usual culprits all come to the fore. And the relationship between these culprits and this present war in the Middle East is something that cannot possibly be overemphasized. You're talking again about oil interests, banking interests, the interests of major defense contractors both in this country and abroad, as that is embodied in the Carlyle Group, and you're talking about the Israeli lobby. When you look at those interests and see the way in which all of them are driving America not only toward a wider war in the Middle East, but are systematically destroying the sovereignty of this country with open borders, with a globalized internationalist economy that is being run basically for the interest of the power elites, and where we see the manufacturing sector of our own economy being systematically frittered away, and deliberately so. It seems to me that we are talking about a period of time when the old American Republic is already gone. I would urge you to take a look at that piece today at News with Views entitled "Rodents in the Belfry" by Joe Kress. Paul Proctor also has a post at News with Views today. Paul is talking about something that I think is very much significant. What is the relationship in the mind of the average member of the Christian right in this country about the relationship of the central state to Jesus Christ, or the relationship of one's nationalistic perceptions to those things that involve the kingdom of God? I'm not suggesting that those are easy answers or that we necessarily have to have a visceral, knee-jerk reaction or answer to every single question that's posited, But Paul Proctor, I think, has something to say to us today in his piece entitled When America is Gone, which you can also find at newswithviews.com. Paul goes on to say, country singer Lee Greenwood wrote and recorded a very powerful and inspiring song many years ago that has all but become the new unofficial national anthem of the United States of America. The lyrics to God Bless the USA begin this way, quote, if tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today, because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Now, I'm not sure why Mr. Greenwood would thank his lucky stars for the privilege of living in the USA right before calling on Almighty God to bless it, but the words do make one pause and think about the unthinkable, hopefully to reassess what is treasured most in this country. Our flag indeed still stands for freedom, but I'm not so sure that the freedom for which it stands can't be taken away. That's Paul Proctor's piece, When America is Gone, at newswithviews.com. We'll take a further look at Paul Proctor's analysis of all of this when Mark Dankoff's America returns on RBN. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross is going to join us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. Have a number of things to chat with Mark about. He made a recent appearance on Michael Collins Piper's show on this network. And Mark Glenn is always a fascinating guy. And if you've not taken a look at his Crescent and Cross website, you really need to do that. Either Google it, and you'll come up with it. Or if you go to my website, markdankoff.com, go to the links page, and in the middle of the page you will see a logo that involves both a crescent and a cross. Simply click on that logo, and it will take you directly to Mark Glenn's main news page, which is an absolutely outstanding compendium of information in regard to the Jewish lobby and Zionist power in America, and various things going on in the Middle East. Mark Glenn, of course, also is a correspondent with the American Free Press now, and he may from time to time have things to share with us that relate to some of his research and writing for AFP. So he'll be on this morning at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. Always enjoyed talking to Mark, and as I've mentioned before, he has been very helpful to me and to at least two other hosts of shows on this network in regard to bringing eventual guests to us for possible recruitment to be on these shows. And that occurs solely out of the goodness of his heart. He receives absolutely no remuneration of any type for doing that. That's just the type of a guy that he is. And the RBN listeners who are not familiar with Mark really need to get to know him in the days ahead. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network, by the way, by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at the office at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org or give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. Through the Republic Broadcasting Network, you can find Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That can be yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. And if you are interested in doing some investing, I'm just a lowly, poor Christian pastor. Don't have too much money to invest, and that's as it should be, I suppose, because in my particular case, that wasn't the reason why I got into that calling to begin with. But for those of you who have some good, honest, hard-earned money that you're looking to invest, if you're considering the Republic Trading Group, their new website is republictradinggroup.net. That's republictradinggroup.net. So keep all of those sites in mind, republicbroadcasting.org, republictradinggroup.net, and our telephone number, the office number of 1-800-724-2719 in mind when attempting to do business in support of the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can also give me a call today throughout the morning at 1-800-313-9443. When we come back, I'll be taking a look again at some news stories and getting back to Paul Proctor's post today on America, which you can find at Elizabeth Wright's newswithviews.com. Stay tuned. Mark Dankoff's America will be back